Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Coosada Baptist Church. We want to be a lighthouse to guide you on your journey through life. Listen as our pastor, Dr. Jim Graham, shares a message from God's Word and offers sound biblical direction for your daily life.
Good morning, everyone. It is great to see you this morning. Thank you so much for being here. Over the past 2 months, we've been taking a journey through the book of Ephesians. What we've called made new, going from blessing to battle and becoming who God's called us to be. From the opening chapter where Paul reminded us that we are blessed and chosen and loved beyond measure, to the reminder that we are saved by grace and welcomed into God's family, to the challenge to walk in unity, to be equipped, to change, and even to submit to one another in love. So this has been a journey of discovering who we are in Christ and who God is calling us to be. Now we come to the final step of the journey, and Paul closes his letter by reminding us that the Christian life is not a stroll through the park, it's a battle. Following Jesus means we're living in a world where there are forces that oppose us, where temptation tries to pull us down, where spiritual warfare is real. But the good news is, God has not left us defenseless. He's given us His armor, His strength, and His Spirit so that we can stand firm. So let's read together Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Let's read these few verses here. About this fight. He says, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Let's talk about fighting today, all right? We'll start by saying there's the reality of spiritual war. That war, this war is not a theory, that it exists. It is personal, it is present, it is persistent. We are under attack, and I think you realize this. I think you understand because of the way that you and I personally live our lives every day. We understand that we are struggling in a battle to follow the Lord and do things right. We're in a struggle against evil forces. And he does this in a few ways. One is he's tempting us to sin. He's trying to get us to do the wrong thing. He's tempting us to sin. We could go back to the original sin, and you can see it all playing out in Genesis chapter 3. The temptation was, you're hungry, you're in need, look at this. This is beautiful, this looks fulfilling. And there's almost this sense all the time that there's got to be something more. There's got to be something more. And for them, think of it. They have the whole Garden of Eden. They're in this place, this paradise, but there's this sense, well, what about this? There's something more. And as you go through life, that sense comes to reality for all of us. It comes to reality. I think it's what they call the midlife crisis. I don't know, but there comes this point in life as we go along, we start thinking like, wow, I thought there'd be more. Like I thought if I could get this or reach this level or this moment or this thing, that then that would give me that contentment, that satisfaction, that longing. It would be fulfilled in these things. And we keep pursuing those things. Like, if I can just get to this next step or this thing, then it'll all come together. But it just doesn't seem to do that. It's like it's always like something's missing. It's like there's got to be more. And there's this element of that Satan uses to pull us away. God's sitting there saying, like, I can show you contentment and joy right where you are. But Satan is going, like, no, there's something more. Come do this. Come try this. So he uses temptation. Another thing he does is, again, he did it in the Garden of Eden. He begins to undermine who God is and what God says. Can you really trust him? I mean, I know you're supposed to believe he loves you, he wants what's best for you, but is that real? Can you really trust him? Is he really going to come through for you? And so he begins to attack you emotionally and mentally. And you, everyone in here, we have those struggles where it's attacking us, where our minds get filled with doubt and discouragement, even despair, because we're constantly things going through our mind about, you know, negative thoughts and negative reactions. And we battle those. We know what's right, and yet we struggle with those things, and they tear us apart inside out. And we deal with that. All of us, every one of us in this room, deal with those. We know there's a battle being fought. And that battle is being fought by every single one of us. But you might say, look, there may be a handful of you in here that you're a little stronger than the rest of us. Like, you can just handle it a little better than, you know, the 90% of the rest of people. You're just in the upper 10%, like mentally and emotionally, like you got it together, you're fine. Like, he can come at you, but you're good. Well, guess what he does then? He attacks your relationships and the people around you. It's like, you know, you watch the movies and stuff. What is the storyline? Oh, there's a Superman. We can't get Superman, so what are we going to do? Oh, we'll get Lois Lane, right? That's exactly what Satan will do to us. He's like, well, I'll just go after the people closest to you, the people that mean the most to you, and I'll attack you that way. And that battle is real, and it goes on every day. And you and I are fighting this spiritual war. So I just want to say to you, you're in a fight. And I want you to know you're in a fight. And I don't mean this in a bad way. We're going to get to the good part in a minute, but you're in a fight. He says it in verse 12. We fight against rulers, authorities, powers, spirits. Like he says, you're in a fight. Now, you've probably been in a situation where you have to have heightened awareness. My concern is that when it comes to this spiritual fight, that we are not aware enough and our guard is down. And here's what I mean by being in a situation where there's heightened awareness. You may have been in a situation where you felt physically threatened. You were on a dark street somewhere. You were in some neighborhood, some situation, some problem area, and you thought, whew, I better watch out here, right? I better be on my toes around here. And when you're in that situation, you hear everything, you're seeing everything, like you are really aware of what's going on because you feel threatened. You feel like this is not safe right here. And there are many of you, you've been in a place like that before where you just felt, I don't really feel safe where I am right now. I'm ready to get out of here, right? And hopefully you didn't put yourself there, but sometimes we get caught in those situations. Or like me, I've been in a situation, been blessed to be in this situation several times where I'm in a place that is a high traffic touristy area and it is just filled with thieves. And they'll tell you, you better not, if you're just looking around going, oh, look at the thing, you know, whatever, and like they'll take your stuff, you better keep it. And my wife and I, we're always on high alert. Like I have this little pouch, you know, and my I'd have my passport and my money and everything and my hands on it, and I got it right here, you know, and I'm walking around like this, and I'm thinking, like, they're looking at me going, like, ah, don't waste our time with him. We need to get some joker whose backpack's half open and they're staring at the thing, you know, whatever, and get them. Now, you may have been in one of those situations, right? And in those situations, if you feel physically threatened or you feel like someone might rob you, your awareness is heightened and you're seeing it around you. You're looking for it, and so you're just really on guard. Sometimes you feel this way relationally. You ever walk in a situation, you'll call it something like, I had to like walk on eggshells in that situation. You're around a certain type of person. You know they're easily offended or something like that. It might be a family gathering or some situation, whatever. And so you're watching everything you say. You're being really careful. I don't want to say anything that'll make this blow up or whatever. So I'm just going to really guard my words, and I'm on heightened awareness. Now, none of us want to live that way all the time, but we've been in those situations. Now, here's the problem. I believe that spiritually we're in a fight and we're in dangerous scenarios and we're not paying any attention. We're not paying any attention. And so we are just ripe for the plucking. The thief who wants to kill and destroy, that's the way he's described in Scripture. As a thief who wants to steal from you your peace, your joy, your right thinking, steal it from you, take it away from you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to ruin your life. And so he's after you, and you're just doom scrolling on your phone, and you're not even thinking about, I might be under attack right now. You're just letting your mind just go crazy over some situation that you're fretting about. And you're in here trying to do something, but boy, your mind is just it's just racing 90 miles an hour, just over and over playing through something in the worst negative way you can, and you don't even realize you're under attack at that moment. And you need to know something. You're in a fight. If you could realize you're in a fight, I think you'd be a little more on guard, and you could take some of the steps that we're going to talk about. Now, I don't think he's just attacking you personally. He is. He's after you personally. But I believe there's a global scope to spiritual warfare. I think Satan's trying to maneuver the whole globe. He is fighting to try to win a battle, and he wants to change the environment that you're in. You know, I'm not just going to rob you. I'm going to change the whole environment around you. I think he's trying to do things like divide communities. Right? I know he's trying to divide families. I mean, think back to the Garden of Eden, right? Can you imagine that scenario? Like, how quickly did that escalate? Oh, here it is. It's beautiful. It's lovely. It's nice. You're missing out on something. Can you really trust God? Are you sure? Are you sure he's really saying, you know, or is he just trying to deprive you? You know better for what. You know what you need. You know what you want, right? And then before you know it, they're not doing what God said, they're not trusting him, and they've fallen into sin. And God confronts them. And the first thing they do is Adam goes, it ain't my fault, it's her fault. That's the first thing he does, right? Like, it's her. Now, it doesn't play this out. I wish it would continue writing about that. Can you imagine the look he got in that moment? And I just picture you, as soon as God leaves, you and I are going to have a talk, right? Like, what do you mean, my fault, right? I mean, like, it's splitting families. But I don't think Satan's just trying to split families. I definitely think he's trying to split families. Definitely think he's trying to do that. He just tried to put a wedge right in the middle of it. I mean, divorce is his favorite topic. No doubt in my mind. But I think he's trying to divide communities. I think he's trying to divide whole people groups. Like, when you see God in the picture, God is a unifier. He's a harmonizer. He brings people together. You see it in the world around you. if he can divide us, whatever lines he wants to draw, racially, culturally, economically, politically, just divisive, divisive, divisive. That's Satan. That is not God. If it's not God, guess who it is? It's Satan. I hate to be so black and white, but that's the way it is. It's either good or evil. It's either God or it's the devil. It's one of the two. And that stuff is him dividing communities. I believe he's trying to distract and deceive you. I believe he's trying to distract and deceive whole nations, whole institutions, whole industries. Get them off track from their mission. Get them off track from the right mindset and get them focused on other things. Why? Why? Because his ultimate goal is to prevent the spread of the gospel. Now, there's two ways he can do that. One way is to get you not to tell a soul. I can make you nervous enough and scared enough and your own faith questioned enough and all the things to keep you from telling anybody about Jesus Christ. That's one thing he does. He attacks you personally. The other thing he does is I'll try to make it where the institution you work in won't allow you. I'll try to make it where the nation you live in won't allow you. I'm going to try to change whole nations. This is Satan trying to prevent the spread of the gospel. So, the call on our life. Now, look, that's a global thing, but let's come back personally. Like, look, I don't live on a global scale. I don't know if I'm influencing the globe in any way, shape, or form. I'm just trying to deal with what's going on in the 360, you know, zip codes, you know, the 334 area code. Like, I'm just trying to deal with this right here. And mostly in my own life, my own neighborhood, my own street, you know, my life. Well, I know I'm having to fight a battle in my own heart and my own mind every day over so many things, right? Family stuff, practical stuff. Are you like me? Listen, I will tell you, like, it's almost like every piece of mail I get, I think, oh no. Like, I like junk mail because I can just take it and go, that's junk, and throw it away. Like, thank God, that's just junk mail, right? But everything else either looks like a bill, right? It looks like a bill or some kind of whatever, something legal or official. And you get anything that looks legal or official, I go, oh no, what is this, right? You do the same thing? Like, what in the world is this? I've never opened up one of those and them go, anyone that says congratulations, it's a lie, right? And you go like, oh, sometimes you get personal mail. No, look, the only personal I get is some invitation for somebody to please come to this thing. I don't want to go, you know. I'm sorry, y'all get the same, y'all do the same thing, don't you? Like, oh, here's another thing, let's buy a gift and go to this thing. Like, gosh, you know, Pearline, this is for you, you know, whatever, right? Like, there's so many things. And then everything is a phone call or a problem that something else is going wrong. Your family's got issues, your thing. And then that's not even beginning all the battle that's going on in your own mind and heart about everything under the sun. Everything that's going on. The weather's never right. You know, it's too hot. It's rain. It needs to rain. Oh, no, it's raining. Right? That's the way we are. You know, it's so hot. Well, now it's not sunny. You know, whatever. Nothing's ever right. What's wrong? It's our mind. It's not the weather. It's our mind. It's not the problems. It's up here. So the call is to be strong, but very specifically to be strong in the Lord. You can't be strong enough. You're not going to win this battle. You're going to lose. You and I, we're not strong enough. So he doesn't say, hey, you be strong. Sometimes I say that to people all the time. Stay strong, be strong, you know. I think this is a little better. Paul says, be strong in the Lord. Specifically in verse 10, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. He uses three different words there. There's three different Greek words. The first one is the same word we get dynamite from. It means power. And the second one literally means strong, strength. And the third one means might, okay? So he's like, this strength, this power, this might. He says, I want you to, you're in a battle. You need this kind of stuff. Now I want to take you back. The reason I'm mentioning these three terms is because way back in chapter 1, when we first started this series, Paul begins his letter and he's praying for his friends that he's writing this letter to. And he's telling them, let me tell you what I want you to, what I'm praying for you. And we talked about this. He said, I'm praying that you might know his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength. Here's the three words, right? That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. So let me back up. Way back at the beginning, what we talked about foundationally is this. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered Satan. Okay? And he did that. And the power that raised him from the dead, he says, I want you to know that in your own life. I want you to realize something that most Christians are walking around not realizing at all. And that is that there is a power and a strength and a might that you can carry with you all the time. You're packing, okay? You're armed. So you're in a battle, but you're armed. Not with your strength, with his strength. What kind of strength is that? It's a kind of strength that's resurrection power. That's what you're carrying with you. So I want you to understand something about this fight. It is not a dualistic fight. This is not, woo, Jesus and Satan fighting it out. They're on equal footing. It's quite the battle. It's just raging along. And, you know, Jesus is going to pull it out in the end. That's not what this is. This is domination. This is domination, okay? This is Ball State. This is Auburn against Ball State. I don't remember who did Alabama play yesterday. They played somebody like that, right? Louisiana, one of the Louisianas, right? It's that kind of battle. It ain't Florida State. It's not, thank God, right? That's what y'all are saying. You know, it's, you know, I don't even want to talk about Sanford. Just don't even look up what they're doing. It's awful, you know. But like, you're just sitting there going like, look, this is domination. This isn't equal thing. Jesus has already won. Read your Bible. See what happens. When Jesus rolls up on a scene, and there are like demons present, like what he's describing. Like there's demons, and they see Jesus. Do you know what they do? They go like, oh no, what are you doing here? Can you please don't destroy us? Can we just, like that's the way they react. They don't like rise up and go, all right, battle's on. They run. They run. Jesus has won. Now you and I, we struggle. You know why we struggle? We struggle when we're fighting in our own strength. We struggle. So here's what he says. He says, put on Christ. Put on the armor of God. Literally put on Christ. Like take on his things that will help you in this battle. And he lists them. Let me talk to you about them. He says, put on truth. Put on truth. See, all that other stuff, the stuff being said, what Satan is saying in the Garden of Eden, he's lying. He's lying. He's telling them like, God doesn't love you. God's trying to keep from you. God doesn't care. Look at this. This is pretty. This is great. This is wonderful. Go do this. It's a lie. It's all a lie. And what you and I battle with most of the time, they're lies. They're lies. We're listening to stuff in our own head. And it is negative, and it is wrong, and it's turning our heart the wrong way, and we know it. We're standing there, and you're just doing, look, I'm sitting there doing stuff. Like, you're on your computer, you're washing dishes, you're doing whatever, you're doing stuff, but stuff's going on in your head, and you're not thinking right. You know the best thing you can do in that moment? You're like, stop. What's true? What is the truth? We need to latch on to the truth and throw the lies out. He says, put on the truth. He says, put on righteousness. He said, put on righteousness. You know what righteousness is? It's just doing the right thing. Just do the right thing. It's what I used to tell my teenagers. You know, when they were younger, you know, I could protect them and corral them and try to keep, you know, bad things away from them and all that kind of stuff. And then they got older, you know, and you just have to send them out. I said, like, do the right thing. Be with the right people, you know. Just make good choices, right? You're trying to send them out. Say, do the right thing. That's what he's saying. Do the right thing. You know what's right and what's wrong. You know. You know it in your heart. He says, put on righteousness. Put on truth. Put on righteousness. He says, put on the gospel of peace. Peace. There are certain things that I see, and when I see them, I know whether it's God or not. One of those is confusion and chaos. I know that God is not the author of confusion, states it in Scripture. He is not the author of confusion. When I see chaos and confusion, I go, this isn't God. God brings things into order. So there's another thing I see that I know is not God. And it's when there's strife and anger and anxiety and all those things. That's not God. Oh, I mean, I feel it. I feel anxiety. I feel worry. I feel anger. I get resentful. I start replaying old hurts. I do that stuff. But as soon as I'm doing that stuff, I realize something. This isn't peace. This isn't peace. And I know then, guess what it also isn't? It isn't God. It's not God. He says, put on my peace. You see, when I'm putting on Christ, I mean, there could be chaos all around me. There could be anger all around me. There could be all kinds of stuff all around me. But in Him, I can sit there in the middle of it and have peace. Now, I want that, but I have to put that on. I don't rely. Too many people are relying on the other stuff to get clean. Like, y'all provide peace for me. Y'all got to get it together because I need peace. Like, that's not how it works. Let me tell you how it works. I have peace whether you have it together or not. Like, I'm sorry you're struggling. I'm sorry you're suffering. I get it. But I don't have to do that. I can put on Christ, and I can put on peace in my heart and my life. I'd like for you to have it too. But let me tell you how you're going to have it. By putting on Christ. He says, just put on peace. The gospel of peace. He says, put on faith. Put on faith. To believe. To trust Him. That's the question mark. Can you trust Him? Can you trust Him? Why are things all messed up the way they are? Why are things going that way? Can you trust Him in that? Is he gonna do what He says He's going to do? Can you trust Him? He said, put on faith. It'll carry you so far. That belief. I know God. I know God loves me. I know He cares about me. I know He has a plan. I know He's the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. I know it, and I know I can trust Him. I know He may be leading me down a path I don't like. I don't like where this is going. I don't like what I'm dealing with. I don't like the struggle that's going on. Maybe in reality and maybe just in my mind, but I don't like it. And He says, no, you can trust me. Put on faith. He says, put on salvation. Like in the end, like when I think about all the stuff, everything, ultimately, the one thing I know I can put on is my salvation. Like, He has saved me from my sin. My eternity is set. I love, like, Paul. He's writing this letter. There's another letter he wrote, and he says something remarkable. This is what he does. They're going to kill him. They're threatening his life. Okay? They're threatening his life. They're like, you need to shut up. You need to quit talking about Jesus. You know, or we're going to take your life. That's what they tell him. And this is what Paul said. Paul said, you do what you got to do. You choose. I don't care what you choose. But let me tell you what I'm going to do. If you kill me, I'm going to heaven. All right? I'm going to be with Christ. That'll be the end of my journey here. You know, if that's what you want to do, do it. But if you leave me here, I'm serving God. I'm going to serve Him till the day I die. So either way, I'm good. I'm good. Because if I'm here, I'm serving God. If I'm not here, I'm in heaven with Him. So you just do whatever you want to do. We don't really live with that strength, do we? That's salvation strength. Like, I'm saved. Like, what difference does it make? If I die tomorrow, if this is all over and it's going to end sooner than I thought it was going to end, I'm going to heaven. But if not, then I'm here, and while I'm here, I'm going to serve the Lord. He said, put on the armor of God. Finally, he gives them an offensive weapon. He says, take the word of God. That's your sword. All the others are defensive. He's like, take the sword of God. You know, it's interesting. When Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness by Satan, Jesus could have said anything he wanted to say. You realize anything Jesus says is the word of God, right? So he could have just said anything. But he didn't do that. If you know what Jesus did to fight back against Satan, and I think he did it for our benefit, he took words from the Old Testament, he took scripture, and he quoted them to Satan. He goes, here's what the word of God says. And you know what Satan did? He left. He ran away. Do you have stuff that grosses you out? Is there anything that grosses you out? You know what I'm talking about? So for me, it's food that's left out and then gets kind of rank, you know? Oh, it just turns my stuff. I can't do it. It's one of the things I go like, Pearline, you got to deal with that. Like, I can't do that. I can handle blood. I can handle all that kind of stuff. Some of you don't like blood. Yeah, I mean, you see blood and stuff, you're about to pass out, right? There are things in your life, I can't handle that, right? You know what Satan can't handle? The word of God. Can't handle it. He hates it so, it disgusts him so much. You throw the word of God out there, it's a weapon. You throw it out there, he starts going, get away from me. And you just take it over there closer to him. You know, there it is. Here's what God said, written down. There it is. And he runs from you. So he says, here's Christ. Put this on. Put on the truth. Put on faith. Put on peace. Put on my word. Why? So you can stand this battle. So you can fight. That's the last call I have to you, is to stand. To stand firm. Verse 13, he says, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be standing firm. I love that. I picture in my head, like, there's the superhero movie, and you're the star, and everything's going down, and you're standing there, and the bomb goes off, you know, and the clouds of, you know, debris and dust goes, and when it falls away and left there, there you are. You're still standing there, you know, your clothes are a little tattered, but you're like standing there firm, and that's the picture. He says, put on my armor. And then when the battle ends and Satan flees, you'll still be standing there. Standing there firm on the foundation. I know you're fighting battles. I don't know what they are. I don't know what battles you're fighting this morning. I don't know how he's attacking you. I don't know if it's a temptation to go down a path you don't need to go. I don't know if it's discouragement. I don't know if it's in relationships. I don't know if it's the pull of the world around you. I don't know where he's fighting you, but I do know what you need in Christ today to fight the battle and stand firm in the battle. Victory's in Jesus. He's your armor. He's your strength. He is your victory. So I invite you to take a stand. I invite you to name the battles you're facing, resist them, overcome them in Christ today. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that in Christ the victory has already been won. We confess that on our own we're weak, but in you we are strong. Lord, you know the battles each of us are facing, the temptations that lure us, the discouragements that weigh us down, the relationships under attack, the lies that seek to deceive us. But right now, Lord, we put on Christ as our armor. Lord, cover us in your truth. Guard us with your righteousness. Steady us with the gospel of peace. strengthen our faith to extinguish every fiery dart of the enemy. Anchor us in the salvation we have in Jesus. And arm us with the sword of the word. And Lord, help us to stand firm, not in fear, not in defeat, but in the mighty power of the one who conquered sin and death and the grave. Send us out, Lord. Send us out as warriors, clothed in Christ, ready to resist the enemy. We stand in your victory, Jesus. And it's in your powerful name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. It is our prayer that it's been helpful in this part of your life journey. We invite you to join us at Cusada Sunday mornings for worship. Visit our website at cusadabaptist.org for directions and more information about our church.